From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. As we record this episode of Naps Chat, we are less than a week before one of the most consequential elections in our nation history. Poll after poll has indicated that the race nationally and within the so-called battleground states is neck and neck. And the magnitude of early and mail-in absentee ballots is extremely high. Control of the House of Representatives and the Senate is at stake, with about two dozen House seats and a handful of Senate seats considered toss-ups. The majority party in each House of Congress will determine who are the next committee chairmen, the composition of the legislative agenda for the next 2 years, and what bills will reach the floor for a vote during that same period. In our domain, that is the postal world, who sits in the Oval Office of the White House matters, because he or she will nominate the members of the United States Postal Service Board of Governors and the members of the Postal Regulatory Commission. Control of the Senate matters because senators confirm those presidential nominees. The House matters because key NAPS legislative priorities and potential attacks on postal employee benefits have in the past been devised in the House. Besides performing the minimum civic duty, which is to vote, postal supervisors, managers, and postmasters are empowered through the 1993 reforms to the Hatch Act to actively campaign for incumbents and candidates who promote postal employee interests, so long as their political activity is done as private citizens or as NAPS members. Moreover, EAS-level postal employees have been able to contribute to their Supervisors Political Action Committee, that is SPAC, to help elect current and future congressional allies. With all this in mind, I am pleased to welcome back to NAPS Chat NAPS Executive Vice President Chuck Mulidor, who holds the legislative and political portfolio among NAPS's resident officers.
Hi, Bob. Great to be on this episode of NAPS Chat as we are on the cusp of an important and critical election in just a few days.
Chuck, there are two major components of NAPS's legislative and political program. The first is promoting legislation, which is conducted year-round, but is most prominently highlighted at our early spring legislative training seminar. The other is political activism through SPAC contributions and engaging with candidates and campaigning for them. Could you talk about the relationship between legislative and political activism for postal supervisors, managers, and postmasters?
Yeah, Bob, absolutely. So without the political activism, there's no opportunity to be legislatively active. And what I mean by that is, if we don't get involved with candidates, whether they are incumbents or they are seeking office against an incumbent or running for an open seat, whether it's in the House or the Senate, if we're not involved in those political campaigns and try to influence who wins those campaigns, then we don't have an opportunity to be involved in the legislative process or to influence the legislative process on issues that benefit us as well as the Postal Service. So they're inextricably linked. You can't have one without the other. So that was why this year became a theme for us at LTS when we started in 2024 in February of this year. It was about being legislatively and politically active. It was an important political year, which will lead to an important legislative year. And so the political activism leads to legislative activism, which we hope leads to legislative outcomes that are beneficial to our members.
There's no guarantee in what that outcome is, and there's no quid pro quo, but we at least want to ensure that we recruit the best candidates and incumbents to promote our legislative agenda. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, there's no guarantees, but if you're not in the game, you're not going to win, right? So we have to be in the game, we have to be involved, and do the best we can. And to continue that sports analogy, just to leave it all out on the field. And That's what we've been doing through this entire cycle. That's what we're going to continue to do up until the very end, you know, election eve. We'll be continuing to promote that level of activism that hopefully will influence the outcome of all these 435 House races and 34 Senate races. That will be key to how the Postal Service looks to Congress in 2025, as well as what would benefit our members moving into 2025. And let's not forget, we're not done with 2024 yet. Even after the election, there'll be a legislative session. Could be a variety of issues. We still have some bills we're promoting pretty hard that we hope can get a vote. So the activism won't stop on election day. It's just going to continue through the rest of this year. And then we'll deal with the new Congress when it convenes in early 2025.
You're absolutely right. They have scheduled a lame duck Congress, which means a session of Congress succeeding the election, at which point one of the pieces of legislation, which is a priority of ours, H.R. 82, the elimination of the windfall right. elimination provision in the government pension offset, will come up for a vote as a result of a discharge petition that was successfully filed back in September.
And this is critical for our members. We have a lot of members that are affected by this, all civil service employees affected by it. And hopefully, for the first time ever, get up or down vote on this bill, H.R. 82 in the House, and see what happens. And it'd be critically important if we could pass that. It would definitely be universally beneficial to not only civil service employees across the government, but particularly for postal retirees and their spouses and families that are covered in the civil service system.
Let's come back to the 2024 election. The NAPS Political Action Committee in the 2024 election cycle continued to raise significant funds. To what do you attribute the generous financial support that postal supervisors, managers, and postmasters give to our Supervisors Political Action Committee, SPAC?
Well, first of all, we couldn't do anything without that generosity. And this year was a great fundraising year for us. I think it just starts out with the leadership up here with you and I and Ivan and Jimmy, the resident officers, and you as our legislative and political director. And it filters down through the state legislative chairs that we have, all of whom are very active and involved, and with the involvement of so many of our local leaders across the country. So it's a message that spreads down and across the country. And I think we tee it all up at LTS this year in February. We teed up the message. And I think everybody is aware this year of the importance of this election for a variety of reasons. But we focus on issues that are important to NAPS members as well as to the Postal Service. So we think what's good for NAPS members is good for the Postal Service. So we focus on those priorities. So without the help of those people that were doing that, who've given so much of their money and contributions, their time and their effort, you know, it's more than just giving us dollars. It's the activism, the meetings that are held locally, and not just up here and on Capitol Hill at LTS, but that continue throughout the year at local events across the country. And we've had such engagement this year from so many members to be involved in the political process this year. I think we all sense how critically important this election is. So our members have been actively involved from top to bottom across the country. And I think that's made a difference. I really do believe it's made a difference. And we couldn't have done any of this without all that, not only their contributions, but their activism as well.
Let's talk about the contributions for a second, because it's great we raise a lot of money for SPAC, but that's totally meaningless other than if we want to increase the size of our bank account. But for this election cycle, SPAC has committed over $430,000. Let me repeat that, $430,000 to support proven NAPS congressional allies and forthcoming legislative partners. Could you talk about the magnitude of NAPS's investment in the 2024 elections?
It's an unprecedented investment from this organization in the political and legislative process in this election cycle. I mean, unprecedented is the term. And we had to do it. We talked about it at the beginning of this cycle, that if we were ever going to be involved heavily, this was the year. and we've kept up with that. I mean, we've raised a lot of money and we have money in the bank. It's great to have money in the bank, don't get me wrong. And we still have plenty of money in the bank to sustain our efforts. But there are times when you have to take that money and invest it. And that's what I think we tried to accomplish this year, was investing the funds that the members have given us to invest in candidates that reflect our priorities, reflect our views, and we're going to be very successful at it. You know, we have a very successful legislative effort every election cycle. In 2020 and 2022, we were very successful in electing candidates who reflected our views on FNAPS members on postal issues as well. And I think we'll continue to have that. But this year, it was so important that we get out the people that don't support us. For an example, Senator Rick Scott, Senator Ted Cruz, who do not support any part of the Postal Service or NAPS. They don't. So it was important for us from a legislative view, from a political view, to replace them with people that are more open to hearing our views and supporting us. And we've done that. And we've done that not just in Florida and Texas, but across the country in a variety of House races and Senate races. So it was very important. And I think it reflects a growing strength that we have on Capitol Hill, that we're being so successful in this effort. We have a lot of recognition. Now, we've become in many ways the go-to organization for people that have postal questions. How many calls do we get from congressmen and senators asking questions about issues that affect them from the Postal Service? It just reflects the growing strength that NAPS has on the Hill, not only for NAPS members, but also in reflecting views and values about the Postal Service.
Chuck, the list of NAPS-supported congressional incumbents and candidates are listed on our NAPS website on the SPAC page under Important Documents. There are over 240 races in which SPAC has invested. That's a lot of races. Can you explain why SPAC decided to get involved in these races? And how did we decide to invest in those specific contests?
Yeah, and again, I'll go back to the word unprecedented. It's an unprecedented involvement and level of activism. And this year we've had a large number of open seats, right? Candidates, incumbents who decided not to seek re-election one reason or another. So we've got to find out about these folks that are out there, who they are, and do they reflect our values, and would they be willing to support our issues and support the Postal Service. So we have a questionnaire we send out to candidates. You can't get our support without answering that questionnaire. So those that go unreturned, which often they do, they do not get returned. We don't support them. The candidates that do respond to the questionnaire, you know, we meet with them, we talk with them, we tell them what's important, and we get a commitment from them that they're going to support the issues that we think are important to us. And when those commitments are there, then we're happy to get involved in their race and be influential. Now, this is for both sides of the aisle. We invest heavily on Democrats and Republicans because we're looking for people that support our agenda as NAPS members and support the Postal Service. So we think it's important that they reflect the values of both of those entities, NAPS and the Postal Service. So again, we've made this unprecedented effort, this unprecedented level of commitment, and all the meetings that you and I have had with candidates, with incumbents, it has some serious conversations about what's important to NAPS members and what's important to the Postal Service. And once we hammer all of that out, you know, we're happy to get involved and support those people. And we think we picked the right group of people. Again, an unprecedented number of people, an unprecedented investment of time and money and effort has gone into it. And we're hoping that we're going to yield the expected success from that effort.
Yeah, I might add, it's just not exclusively you and I who have attended events in support of particular candidates. We've had NAPS legislative activists out around the country attend events and meet with candidates directly, whether it be at meetings, town halls, events, or so forth. I mean, So it's a team, it's a full team effort.
Absolutely. And I'm impressed really this year, especially and in years past, but this year, especially the level in so many states and so many local branches of the willingness to meet with candidates, the willingness to meet with incumbents, to travel to fundraisers, to cookouts, to meetings, fundraisers at people's houses and homes, to meet anywhere and everywhere that we can track a candidate down, to meet them at their local offices or at parades or at breakfasts or prayer meetings, wherever we can meet them. We've had folks out there in our state and local branches that have done that. And I'm just so impressed by that and the level of commitment that they have shown. And it's going to pay off. And I hate to keep going back to this word unprecedented, but truly it's an effort at all levels of this organization, from where we are up here in Alexandria, Virginia and DC area, all the way down to all these efforts at the local branch and the state level. It's been very, very impressive and very inspirational to me.
I want to come back to something that you said, and that is I want to note that there are many non-incumbents with whom SPAC has invested during this election cycle. Mm-hmm. They include candidates for vacant congressional seats and candidates who are challenging members of Congress who do not support NAPS issues. Other organizations avoid getting involved with challenges and limit their contributions solely to incumbents. Why has SPAC decided to take a meaningful leap to support non-incumbents and challengers?
Because we're the leaders. That's who we are. We're not happy just to sit back and hope that Congressman so-and-so wins again or Senator so-and-so wins again and be happy with that. We want to influence the process. We want to be leaders in the process. That's who we are as an organization, and that's who we are as our legislative agenda and political agenda. We're the leaders. We're going to get involved. And believe me, how the political process works, and we all know this, how the political process works is those folks who sought out our help and met with us and we helped, we have a friend.
I want to underscore that before you continue. Yeah. I want to reflect on a conversation I had with a former senator, a former governor mm-hmm. for the state of New Hampshire, a Republican named John Sununu, who I was in an event years ago where he remarked, and I'll ask for your response to this, mm-hmm. if you support me after I'm elected, you've got a good senator. If you support me when I'm a candidate, you got a good friend.
Exactly. And, you know, we talked about this a lot this year. We want to make as many new friends as possible. We've made a lot of new friends, right? We've invested in races with conservative Republicans and more progressive Democrats and everything in between, because we found that the issues that we support often cross party lines. They cross philosophy. They cross a lot of the barriers that were often looked upon before as, you know, as not crossable. And that's probably why some organizations want to play it safe. They don't want to stir the waters. But this organization is all about stirring the waters, is all about not playing it safe, is all about setting the agenda. And that's what we're trying to do. And we know when these folks win, we've made a lot of calculated conversation and investments with some of these folks running for open seats. We believe they're going to win. And when they win, we'll have a friend. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to say, well, everything you want us to do, we're going to do it. No, we know that that's not how it works. But we do know that when important issues come up and we need them for something on an important issue, we'll have their support because we've supported them and we've vetted them. And we know that they feel the same way we do about a variety of issues that are important to us. So I think it all boils down to what's that slogan about making friends and influencing people. That's what we've been doing. And we're making them on all sides of the political spectrum, on both sides of the aisle. And we're going to continue to do that through the rest of 2024 and through 25 and 26 election cycle. That's what this organization is all about, leadership. And that's why we're the leaders and we're at the forefront.
Chuck, many of us know you are a Buckeye fan. And by that's that, right. I mean a supporter of the Ohio State Buckeyes. And you hail from the Youngstown, Ohio area. What's going on politically in Ohio, particularly in races to which you are intimately attuned?
I'll give you two examples. In the city of Akron, very close to Youngstown, Ohio, we met a woman running for Congress a couple of years ago named Amelia Sykes. In fact, she came to LTS 2 years ago and spoke with us after she was elected. And we invested in her in a very, very difficult race she was in. Very difficult race she was in. And we talked with her, and I was so impressed with her, I said to you, she's going to win. I just know she's going to win. And we invested in her, and she did. Well, now she's in another tough race again. She's in a very tough race again here in the Akron, Ohio area. And we've invested in her again because she supports us. She's a friend of ours. And the candidate that she's running against is not. He's just not a friend or supporter of ours. So we're not going to sit back and allow something to happen to someone who supports our issue. So we're very involved in Amelia Sykes' reelection campaign. And further, in a larger picture, Ohio has become a very red state, right? We talk about red and blue all the time. Ohio is a very red state. However, represented by a senator, Sherrod Brown, a Democrat, a blue senator in a red state. And so you might say, well, why support Sherrod Brown? Why not get behind the other person who's running against Sherrod Brown? Well, Sherrod supports us 100%, always has, and is a friend of ours. We meet with him all the time. We have people in Ohio that meet with Senator Brown all the time. Senator Brown supports Knapp's people. He supports Knapp's issues. He supports the Postal Service. Now, he doesn't always just blindly support the post office. He has some tough questions, which they need to have tough questions asked of postal leadership. He's a good senator and a good friend of ours. So we're actively involved in his race as well in Ohio. Republicans tell us he'll be a tough out. He's going to be a tough out. He's a tough senator supported by a lot of people. And we've been heavily and actively involved in his reelection campaign as well. And the bottom line is if Senator Brown is reelected and Congresswoman Sykes is reelected, we continue that relationship and that friendship and that professional relationship that will benefit Knapp's members for the next 2 or 6 years.
Chuck, over 30 years ago, former President Bill Clinton signed into law a series of reforms to the so-called Hatch Act. In part, these much-needed improvements empowered federal and postal employees to actively participate in our democracy and get involved in elections. Mm-hmm. These activities include attending rallies, getting out the vote, and so forth. And our folks have been participating in that. So what should Knapp's members do in their spare time between now and Election Day and on Election Day?
Get out and help and vote. And knock on doors and make phone calls. You know who we're supporting. You know why we're supporting them. It's on our legislative page if you had a question. Everything is above board. It's all very transparent. We don't keep anything from anybody. I can tell you for any candidate that anybody might ask, why are we supporting them? I can tell you why we're supporting them. So when we put these lists of people out that we're supporting, we send people to local events to help get these individuals elected. We want them to do more than just put dollars in their campaign coffers, right? And do more than just attend meetings or breakfasts or prayer meetings and so forth. Get out and help elect them. Knock on doors, make phone calls, call your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, and importantly, call other people you work with or people that you worked with before, if you're retired. Get everybody involved in understanding that what's important here is to elect people that support Knapp and that support the Postal Service. That's what it's all about. Narrow it down to that list of candidates and get out and support them in any way that you can. And whatever time you can do that with, it's important. It's critical. We need your support for these folks, and we appreciate it.
For those who are interested, and hopefully everyone is, there's a detailed list of Hatch Act do's and don'ts, and it appears on the Knapp's website SPAC page under documents. So please look at that material before you go out and you actively campaign, just so you know what you can do, which is a lot of things, and what you shouldn't do. Chuck, the last question for you today. Once the elections are decided, that might be in some races the day after Election Day, or it might be a week or two after, depending on the ballot counting process. But once those elections are decided, what should NAPS members be doing?
Well, get back to work. Don't think that because the election's over, the work stops. The work continues. So we'll sit back and we'll evaluate what worked and what maybe didn't, who won and who didn't win that we supported, and maybe why didn't they win? What could we have done differently? So we'll evaluate all of that. But I think the bottom line is that this work never ends. There's never a day when you can say, well, it's election day, it's the day after, I can take a deep breath and not worry about it anymore. But we can't do that. So after election day, we'll have to see who the new Congress is, who's going to be seated in these Senate and House seats, and get to work. And that's what we're going to do here at NAPS headquarters. We're going to get to work right after that. And when 2025 rolls around and new Congress is in place, we're going to get to work with them supporting the issues that are important to NAPS members, and hopefully reap the benefits of our hard work through this election cycle. But again, the work never ends, so never be satisfied. And we'll just keep pushing ahead. And that's all we can keep doing, is just keep pushing forward.
Chuck, preparing for 2025, the first opportunity, or one of the first opportunities our members will have to meet the new members of Congress, is the 2025 Legislative Training Seminar to be held this year, a little bit later than last year. When will the registration be going out for that?
Well, the registration probably won't open up until after the first of the year, because a couple of reasons. First of all, we're a little bit later this year. Last year, we were in February. This year, it's in April. So it'll be great weather to come down here to D.C., to walk the hill, to talk with our members of Congress, the one many of whom that we would have supported. And also because we're involved in putting up a brand new website. So that new website will be hopefully active mid-December or so. I'm not going to give you too many hints about it. It's going to be a unveiling of that when it's ready, actively working on it right now. But we don't want to start the registration process from one web page and carry it over to another web page for whatever might happen in between. So look for that early in 2025, early January of 2025. We'll get that information. It gives us plenty of time to prepare. We're already working, as you know, Bob, we're already working on the agenda for 2025 LTS. And we'll take a fresh look at the issues that are important to NAPS members and the Postal Service, and we'll go from there. And we'll lay the groundwork. Really, to me, I see 2025 as laying the groundwork for the elections of 2026. So we've got to start thinking ahead, right? 2024 is going to be over in a few days, the cycle. The work begins now on 2026. Mm-hmm. And that's how it goes. It's never-ending work. It's what we do. We have to stay vigilant always and be forward-looking and forward-thinking. So 2025 will begin laying the foundation for the legislative agenda that will follow in the year or so ahead.
Chuck, I want to thank you for joining us this week on NAPS Chat. Thanks, Chuck.
Always a pleasure, and appreciate all the work you do, Bob, and the other resident officer, Ivan and Jimmy, that we all do, our executive board, our state presidents, our legislative chairs, our local branch presidents, all the folks that have been so involved this year, this election cycle. I really appreciate everybody's hard work, everybody's efforts, and it's going to pay off. Thank you.
Thanks, Chuck. And I want to thank NAPS Chat listeners for logging on. If you enjoy NAPS Chat, please leave us a positive review in the podcast store of your preference. And more importantly, share NAPS Chat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and stay healthy.
And make